Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, welcome. We're so glad that you're here as you make your way back to your seat. How many people received one of these? Did you get one of these? It's a C group guide. Lift it up if you got it. Everybody got a C group guide. All right, you should have one. If you don't, grab one on your way out, because this little piece of paper has way more significance and way more power than you might think. We've been talking about the fact that God wants you to know that He has fully equipped you to be able to begin to make disciples. If you're a committed follower of Christ, if you can say, I'm committed to following Him, I'm growing to be like Him, I'm looking to be somebody who influences, He wants you to be able to help make disciples. This thing is going to help get you there. But you may wonder, why would a little front and back piece of paper have any power to actually cause me to make a difference in the world? Well, I want to compare it to this. When you look at that little piece of paper and you look at your Bible, the relationship between that piece of paper and your Bible is like the relationship between not a flight manual, but an aircraft manual and a checklist. Now, my stepfather was a pilot, okay? And I remember getting in the cockpit with him when he would go flying. And although he had flown in World War II, he was a stunt pilot, he was an instructor, when it came time to go, that flight manual was not in the plane with him. I mean, that aircraft manual. But he had a thing called a checklist. It was a little front and back laminated piece of paper that sat down in the pocket beside him in the plane. And that little piece of paper, front and back, is what he would go through every single time. And he would not fail to do everything on that checklist, because what the checklist does is it makes sure that the pilot is doing everything in the aircraft manual. Does that make sense? This makes sure we're doing this. And putting this into practice is what counts, and so this is what gets you there. It's the same way with this little thing we're calling a C group guide and the Bible. What the C group guide is a checklist to make sure that you're doing everything written in here. Does that make sense to you? And so this has been prayed over beyond your imagination in terms of the amount of prayer that we have put into this. It's a culmination of literally hundreds of years of ministry experience among a group of people that said, let's get a checklist that helps us to make sure we're doing what the Bible said do. We're living what the Bible said to live. That makes sense to everybody? And so this thing is packed full. And so if you will go through the checklist, as a matter of fact, look at the front page of it, which is the one with the bigger banner at the top. That front page, it has C group values. I just want to start the checklist with you. And I want to say this, if you go through this checklist with me right now, and you begin going through this checklist with a group of people, and you actually do what's on this checklist, you will find yourself putting into practice what God said to put into practice and living out what Scripture says to live. And so first, if you were to just say committed, you recommitted, that means that you are committed to God and each other, that you meet weekly and you pray for each other every single day. If you began to live that, you would be actually living out what the Bible says in this whole concept of commitment. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, you would be living out what the early church lived out. But not only that, you'd be living out what we learned from the book of Exodus and 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and Daniel and the whole book of Acts. You're going to be living out what the Bible says. If you actually go to that second value and you actually have true comrades where you trust each other and you're actually like valuing each other and trusting each other and sharing openly and honestly with each other. If you have confidentiality where what is shared in that group stays in that group, you'll be living out Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, where a friend sticks closer than a brother. That kind of relationship you'll begin to have. But you'll also be living out all that you have learned or will learn through the book of Ruth or the book of Job or looking through the Psalms or the Proverbs or what you'll learn as you go through Jeremiah or Lamentations and especially 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You'll start living what the Bible says to live. And if you go to that next value and you were to say, we are actually changing. We are learning to live more like Jesus. And in doing so, we are obeying His commands and filled with His love. We are really striving to be more like Him. You will actually be living out what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, when He said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, that's the one who loves me. But you'll also be living out all that you've learned through the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Ezra and the book of Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai, what you've learned through Galatians and what you've learned especially in the Gospel of John. You'll be living those things out. Does that make sense to everybody? So He's saying, look, I want you to start living it. And this little checklist says, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start living it out. So if you live it out and you're truly Christ-centered with some other people who are truly Christ-centered, that means that in Jesus, you're finding God's presence to guide you, His grace to forgive you, and His power to change you. You'll be living out Colossians 3:3, where your life is hidden with Christ in God. He's making all the difference in your life. But you'll also be living out what's written in the book of Genesis and what's written in the book of Isaiah or Joel or written through Micah or the Gospel of Mark. You'll especially be living out what's found in the book of Romans and Colossians really powerfully. You'll be doing what it says in those places. You'll even be looking at what is written in the book of Revelation saying, man, we're living this. We're actually Christ-centered in our lives. And then if you are actually living in a relationship of accountability where you're spurring each other on toward love and good deeds, you'll be putting into practice, living out what we learn about from the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, where He tells us to do exactly that, to spur each other on toward love and good deeds. But you will also, at the same time, be putting into practice what you've learned or will learn through the book of Judges or Amos or Obadiah or through the Song of Solomon or through the whole book of Hebrews or 1st and 2nd Peter or especially 1st John. You'll be like, God, I'm actually living what the Bible says. Imagine you opening your Bible and going like, we're doing this. Imagine what it is like to be doing it and then reading the Bible and say, wow, that's what we were doing. And that's what God wants for you. And so when you're in a relationship with people where you're truly connected, which means you're obeying and following Jesus together, when you start doing that, then you're living out 1 Corinthians 12:27, where we're the body of Christ and every one of us is a part of it. We're connected and we're growing. But you'll also be living out everything you have learned or everything you will learn from books like the book of Joshua or the book of Nehemiah or Esther or Ephesians or Philippians or Philemon or 1 and 2 Corinthians. You're just going to begin to start putting into practice God's Word. Now, how many people are like, whoa, you mean I could be doing all that just because of this? It's the same thing as a pilot doing all of this because of a simple checklist. And God's saying, I want you to put it into practice. And as you put it into practice, when you actually start creating new C groups for your unconnected friends and you start living that out, you'll be putting into practice what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, when He said, go and make disciples. But you'll also be doing what we're told to do through Ecclesiastes or Ezekiel, what we learn about God in those books, or from Hosea or from Jonah. You'll be learning things like you learned from Zechariah and putting those things into practice. I mean, actually taking the cautions of God and taking them seriously. Or the book of Matthew, you'll actually be living out that gospel and you'll be saying, like, we're living like the real disciples lived. And as you read 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, you'll be going like, wow, we're actually doing what the Bible said do as we're starting to create places for unconnected people. And then as you consistently put this into practice, you consistently follow this guide because it's based on God's Word and it works. When you start practicing that consistently, you're going to be living out what James 1:22 says. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You'll be actually starting to do what it says. And as you start to do what it says, you're going to be starting to put into practice what you're learning and you're going to be applying what you've learned through anything from the book of Leviticus and Numbers to 1st and 2nd Chronicles to the book of Malachi or the Gospel of Luke. You'll be reading the Gospel of Luke saying, actually, we're living this out. Or 2nd or 3rd John or Jude. And then especially the book of James, you'll be going like, man, we're actually putting this stuff into practice. Now, here's what I'm trying to get across is this. Is that when a pilot takes this checklist, and the interesting thing about a pilot using their checklist is that when a pilot uses their checklist, and I lost mine. How did I lose my checklist? Anybody know? Did y'all see what I did with it? It's just like disappeared. It disappeared. There it is. Hot dog. Thank you. All right. Cool thing about a checklist is this. As a pilot, if a pilot lost his, he'd find it. My stepfather would not leave without having that list and check it. And here's why. The greatest pilots, Sullenberger, if y'all remember him, the guy who landed the plane in the Potomac, you know, Sully checks his checklist. And matter of fact, his landing that plane was based on checking a checklist. Only thing he did was put something into practice sooner than the checklist said to do. It's just amazing what a checklist does. And here's the thing, is that when a pilot just does what's on the checklist, he begins to put into practice everything that's in the aircraft manual. And what happens next? Well, when I was with my stepfather, and we would go through the checklist and get going, pretty soon we'd be in the air. This is actually an aircraft manual from an Airbus 380, or that's what we're pretending it is. And here's the thing. You know what an Airbus 380 is? It's the largest commercial airliner in the world. Holds over 850 people when it's loaded. All right. So imagine you're on the flight deck. You're up in the cockpit of, you know, an Airbus 380, and you just are there with some people, you know, some people that you love, and going through the checklist, and we're doing what it says do. You do what it says do, and what's so cool is somebody who's going through that process ends up in the air at 560 miles an hour, traveling to places like Mauritius or Australia, like Tokyo or Paris, and you're carrying 850 people with you. Now you get the picture. Taking that and putting it into practice, and all of a sudden you're on this adventure. You're flying, man. You're doing it. You're doing what this is really all about, because this isn't about something. This is not just good reading material, right? The thing that makes this thing exciting is living it. And the checklist gets them living it. How boring would it be if all you ever did was read the aircraft manual? Would that be an exciting life? Right? Anybody ever remember, anybody here ever watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life with James Stewart? Y'all, if you hadn't seen it, you've got to see it. It's just so, so cool. But Jimmy Stewart is on his way to the library, you know, on a snow-filled street, and he runs into Violet Bick. And Violet says, "Don't you ever get tired of just reading about things, Georgie?" Right? Let me ask you, don't you ever get tired of just reading about things, Christian? Aren't you tired of just, it's boring, man. The Bible is a boring thing if you're not living it. If you're living it, it'll rock your world. And so here's the reality. You start living it, and this next truth you will find to be so big in your life. And that's this. When we talk about these little things called C groups are just a way to get you doing what God said do. But listen, being in a C group is like being with the disciples who first followed Jesus. All we're doing in a C group is giving you a checklist, getting you together with people where you actually live what the Bible says. It'll be just like those early disciples of Jesus experienced. And you think, really just like them? Yes, because you know what? First of all, they were invited by Jesus to follow Jesus. They were invited by Him. He said, "Come and follow me." He said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." Listen to this truth. They were invited to follow Jesus by Jesus. We are invited to follow Jesus by Jesus. Let me tell you that right now God's saying to you, "I'm inviting you to follow me." Now you can spend your life being bored and reading this thing called the Bible, or you can jump in and follow me and experience the adventure I'm calling you to, because I'm inviting you to literally get out of your comfort zone and follow me. And then He's saying, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I've reached out to you. God's reached out to you. It's the only reason you're here." And if you're a visitor for the first or second time, understand you're not here by chance. God's saying, "I'm reaching out to you. I'm telling you I got more for your life than the life that you're living right now." And then you think, well, these disciples, you know, they actually invited other people to follow Jesus. Like Andrew said, Peter, come and see, man. I think we found him. And Philip said to Nathaniel, he said, come and see. You know, I think we found him. And the truth is that just like they invited others to follow Jesus, we invite others to follow him. And so God's saying to you, look, tune in. There are people in your life that nobody else is inviting. There are people that you live beside. There are people you work beside. There are people around you that you are their invitation to follow Jesus. And they may be people who already count themselves Christians. They may have accepted Christ, but they've never started to follow him. And they need somebody to say, come on, let's do it, guys. Let's stop reading about it. Let's live it, right? I want to invite you on this adventure with me. We invite just like he invited. And those guys have one quality. It's so interesting, but their quality was this. It weren't that they were ordinary, uneducated people. They weren't anything special, but they had one quality. They were just willing to do it because Jesus said do it. It was what we call the BYSSIW. Because you say so, I will. Right? Because BYSSIW, because you say so, I will. That was their attitude. Jesus tells us what to do, we'll do it. We'll just follow instructions. That is what they did. They followed his commands. And in the same way, we can follow his commands. Now listen to this. Some people would say this. Some people say, but that was easy because they had Jesus with them literally. Jesus was literally with them, so surely they were able to follow him easier than we can today, and it was a greater adventure because they had Jesus literally with them, and we don't. The truth is we do. They had Jesus literally with them. We literally have Jesus with us. I don't mean in some kind of figurative sense that some ancient prophet said a bunch of things in a book and because we remember the things in the book, we are kind of with him. No, we are literally with him. He is literally with us. By his Spirit, he is present with us. That was his promise. He said, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. When he gave us the commission to do what we're talking about right now, he said this, and surely I am with you always. So I want to tell you something. When it comes to you getting together with a group of people for this purpose, what we're talking about in a C group, you don't have to worry about him showing up. All you got to worry about is you showing up. Because he will be there. He's going to be faithful to what he said he would do. And you will literally be with Jesus. I want to tell you, it happens every time. I don't care what the week's like, what the day's like. If I get together with two or three other people with the express purpose of we want to pursue following Jesus, every single time he shows up. Every single time people who weren't going to come say, I'm so glad I came. And here's the reality. He is literally with you. In that environment, and you and I have that privilege. It's a greater privilege than the apostles. They had Jesus physically, so if they were away from him physically, he wasn't with them. He said, it's a good thing I'm going to the Father, because I'm going to come back by my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be literally with you wherever you are. Two or three come together in his name, he's with them. Everybody understand that? So here's the reality. He's with us. Yeah, you can give God a hand for that reality. He's not just with us, but we obey his commands. We just say, because you say so, I will. And then you think, but yeah, they had something else. They had this big thing that happened. The Holy Spirit came and filled them. Y'all remember all that? You probably don't. But in the book of Acts, if you hadn't read it, the Holy Spirit came on them and they were filled with all these powers and this amazing thing that God began to put in them, what was in him. And so they were filled with the Spirit. How about us? The truth is we're filled with the Spirit. He said, if you ask me, I'll come into you. I'll put in your heart what's in my heart. I'll put in your mind what's in my mind. I'll put the power and the love and everything that I've got, I'll put it into you. I'll make you a little mini me of me. Right? Pretty cool, right? And so God's saying, I want to fill you. We are filled with His Spirit just in the same way that the disciples were filled with His Spirit. And he's saying, man, you start letting me in, you start inviting me in, and you let me saturate you and fill you and put in you what's in me, and you're going to see a whole different kind of living as a result. And then they got to see Jesus do it, right? And you're thinking, but they watched Jesus. He set an example. Guess what? As you get together with people who are seeking to follow Jesus, you get examples all the time. I'm in C groups all the time when I'm going like, man, that sounded just like something Jesus would do. And other times you're going like, that sounded just like something Judas would do. But every time you're getting something to learn from, right? Every time you're getting together and you're saying, man, this time I got it right, this time I got it wrong, but we're setting examples and seeing examples. And they didn't just see it being done. They were sent to do it themselves. And we're sent to do it ourselves. We're sent out to say, come on, let's live it. You've heard about it, now go live it. I've heard husbands share about things they, and we meet guys and guys and girls. Does that make sense? Guys with guys, girls with girls. You know, that's how we do it, because there are things you're going to share with guys you wouldn't share with the guys and the girls, all kinds of cool stuff. But in that environment, I've seen husbands share things where somebody's going like, man, that sounds like loving like Jesus. And before you know it, the guy who heard it is doing the same thing himself. He's going out to do what he's heard and seen. Does that make sense? And so we begin to hear it and we begin to put it into practice, to go out and do it ourselves. And it's so beautiful when we live that way. And listen, they were then encouraged and corrected by Jesus. They would come back from those experiences from doing it, and then Jesus would unpack it with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they go like, why couldn't we do it? Well, you don't have enough faith. You know, let me talk to you. Let me help you to understand where you're struggling here. Let me also celebrate the good things that are happening. Let me encourage you where you need to be encouraged, correct you where you need to be corrected. They had constant coaching by Jesus. Cool? Guess what we get? Constant coaching by Jesus. We are encouraged and we're corrected as we go into His Word and we share with each other. He's encouraging us where we're getting it right. He's correcting us where we're getting it wrong. How many people would love a coaching session with the Son of God on a weekly basis, right? Yeah? Yeah. You can clap for that, because that's exactly what God wants for us. And then finally, they reproduced. What happened was, after they walked with Jesus and they said, you know, this is pretty profound, they started inviting other people. And guess what? You're going to do the same thing. And you're going to be able to reproduce that experience as you start new C groups for people who don't have it. And you know how hard it is to start a C group, don't you? It's about as hard as going through a checklist. And you may say to yourself, but I sure wouldn't fly a plane just because I picked up the checklist, right? I want to tell you the coolest thing is that Jesus is always the pilot. You get that? He is always the pilot. We are inviting people to be followers of Jesus. We're inviting people to fly with Jesus. When I invite two or three people into the cockpit with me, He's still flying the plane. You know what I'm saying? We're going through the checklist together and we're saying, God, it's about You. It's about You taking us on an adventure. It's about us living it and quit talking about it, but let's live it together. Guys, that is the adventure that God created you for. And this little thing called a C group guide is to the Bible what a checklist is to the whole aircraft manual, right? This just makes sure that we do what's written in here. It makes sure that we do what's written in here. Who's ready to start checklisting? Who's ready to start? I just want you to start thinking about it. When I was on the tarmac with my stepfather, and we're in the airplane, I'm sitting in the cockpit. I'm like in the cockpit with him. Oh, it's so cool, man. And so I'm in the cockpit and we're going through the checklist. And as we're going through the checklist, flaps, you know what I'm saying? You know, the good thing about a checklist is you don't want to miss one piece of it. You know what I'm saying? Miss the flaps, you die. You know what I'm saying? You got to make sure that everything's in line. And so we're going through the checklist. But you know what I'm thinking is, man, this checklist is exciting, because next thing you know, we're going to be in the air. We're going to be in the air. Now, my stepfather could do the upside downs and all that. But, I mean, it was cool. but here's the thing. Who feels it just a little bit right now? Just feel it just a little bit. If you're a teenager, use that checklist. Get together two or three people. You know what I want you to start thinking right now is, if you're getting ready to go flying 560 miles an hour headed to Dubai or to Tokyo or to Paris or to Mauritius, if you're getting ready to go 540 miles an hour on a flight to the most exotic places in the world, right now you're probably thinking, ooh, I know who I'd like to bring with me. You know, let me just think of two or three people I'd like to just get with me. Let's go. Y'all, this adventure is more exciting than any 380 Airbus. It is more exciting than anything you will ever experience in this world. God did not create you to sit on the ground and read the manual. He created you to fly. You know what I'm saying? He created you to fly. And He's saying, I want you to start thinking about who you want to invite to fly with you, to be on that flight with you, because every one of us were born to fly. We were born to live this life. You get it? Think about who you're going to invite. And I hear people saying to me now, they're going like, Jeff, you said wait until January because we're all getting started in January. And I said, don't start now because during the holiday season, you might get off track. I had a woman call me, a life group leader, who said, you know, her life group rocks and it's a great life group. She said, yeah, I know that we're supposed to wait on the C groups, but my people just wouldn't wait. She blamed it on them. She said, they just wouldn't wait. You know, we just had to get going. You know what I'm saying? We had to get going. I said, here's the thing. I just want you to do what God leads you to do. But come January, guys, we're taking off. Y'all get it? Come January, we're taking off. Let's see who we're going to invite to fly with us, right? Lord God, would you take this thing and would you make it rock for us? Would you, Lord God, would you open us up to really live in it? We are tired of reading about it. We are tired of the boring life of just walking through the manual. God, we are ready to get on this checklist and put this thing in the air. We are ready to start living a life like the disciples lived. We are ready to truly follow you and bring some people with us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to invite you up here are about 3,000 names of people that we are praying for who are many. Most of these people here are people who have never come to a relationship with Christ. Well, my desire is that they would come to a relationship with Christ. And as soon as they do, that we get them into a C group where they start living it, right? And they start enjoying that process. You may have people on your mind right now. You're not sure if they're a follower of Jesus or not, but you're just thinking to yourself, I would love for them to be able to live the life we just talked about. I'd love for them to be with me or with somebody else living this thing. You know what I'm saying? And if you're a dude and you're thinking of a girl, you can be thinking, you know, I want her to be with some women living this. Or if you're a girl thinking of a guy, you can be thinking, I want God to have some men around this guy living it with them. So this altar is open for anybody who wants to come and take another one of these. We got these prayer. Well, we did. Somebody's going to find them and they're going to put them up there soon. but we got these banners and you, on it's a little white card and you can write the name of somebody that you're just praying for and saying, God, I want to invite them to follow. You know what I'm saying? I want them to come in and follow you, Jesus. So even if they're maybe already saved, but you know they're not living that relationship following Him, you can write their name down and begin to pray for them. That sound good? That makes sense? So we invite you to stand, and as somebody helps me find out where the banners are, when you get here, you'll be able to take a banner. And look, the banners are over here. Where are they? Okay, they'll put them on the stage. They're going to put them on stage. But listen, when you get here, don't try to hang the banner. You just write it and fill it out and lay it on the altar. We'll hang it later, okay? Let's do that. We invite you to come as we worship.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.